There is sometimes good wisdom on the back roads, and Canadian society is learning that change is needed. Cultural appropriation is when members of one culture adopt elements from another culture in a way that's considered inappropriate or unacknowledged. After things occur in history, we often get different interpretations of what it was. Sometimes we are misled. Lots of examples of this, particularly with the advent of truth and reconciliation, it has proven otherwise. We are learning. The other day, a young, romantic filmmaker, Oliver McCure, from near Matic, Moira River, upstream of Bend Bay, arrived at my Canadian Ecology Center doorstep to pick my brains on canoeing from Ottawa to Thunder Bay, and particularly the Lavaise Portage in North Bay. It is something I know about, what is termed the Nipissing Passageway, often highlighted within my published books and maps. The map link will help to view the approximate historic routes. 3 or water 1 is overland. He is preparing and researching to do an authentic journey as a voyager along the route. I asked him if he was taking toilet paper, a GPS, and freeze-dried food. And if he had a little red canoe like Bill Mason. A mirror came to mind. I explained to this younger idealist there are several ways to portage your way across the height of land at North Bay to access Lake Nipissing and beyond. Early indigenous communities utilized these before the arrival of the colonial explorers, missionaries, and fur traders. These are called Nastwagen. Sharing information is what Back Roads Bill does, and I was pleased to do so since I am convalescing with a new right hip highlighted in last week's story. Oliver's presence was therapeutic, more vitamin N. There are several parts to this story, leading us to consider more of what we think we know. Part 1, Lavaise. If you are driving just east of North Bay on Highway 17, you will see water on both sides of the Trans-Canada Highway. That's Trout Lake on the north side of the height of land, marking two very distinct drainage basins. On the south side, near the water, called Brandy Lake, is one of those dark blue bronzed historical highway plaques. It says in part, the Great Canoe Route via the Ottawa and Mattawa Rivers, Lake Nipissing and the French River, which was followed by early explorers and missionaries and fur traders. It lists, among many famous men who passed here, including Samuel de Champlain in 1615, probably not. There is no acknowledgement of indigenous peoples. For years, passers-by have come to think this was the way the early explorers, voyagers, made their westward across the height of land to Lake Nipissing. Given its contextual location, the Lavaise Portage is one of the most historic places in Canada. It is a 14-kilometer section of the historic Voyager canoe route, which connects Trout Lake and Lake Nipissing. The route was used thousands of years ago by First Nations as part of what was termed colonially as the Amerindian Trading Network before and at the time of European contact. During the Age of Exploration and then the fur trade, the Nipissing Passageway was soon established as a major artery into the interior of North America, as the Mississippi River was too long and Hudson and James Bays were not always ice-free. How do we know this route was utilized? Well, there is archaeological evidence. There was also a public consultation phase, in which I participated, and indigenous communities were consulted. There are other interesting aspects. When in North Bay, South End, walk 100 meters from Lakeshore Drive, Golf Driving Range, on the Kate Pace Way, south to the first pedestrian bridge, you will see the sweeping bend in the river. From this vantage point, look eastward, left, you can see the bend in the river and the field depicted in the painting. If you walk along the edge of the north bank, you will see two locations where rocks were piled for landings. This location is significant. There is no doubt of the existence and location of the upper, middle, and lower Lavaise Portage. But one of the carryovers retains two very different pieces of remaining evidence of Voyager's impact on the landscape. These portages were described many times in writing between 1620 and 1845, says the late local historian Roy Summers, who has unearthed many maps and studied the literature and diaries of those leaving behind records, as well as images of the portage. I accompanied him on several field excursions. He was a retired civil technician and a local historian, a very thorough researcher and an aficionado of historic maps. Roy was also a member of the Friends of the Lavaise Portage. The group have been working to keep the trail open and protected for future use. Further work remains to be done to see the historic route receive more complete and long-term protection and recognition as a heritage canoe route. Good maps under the Routes tab. I have been able to unearth several very accurate maps done by various government agencies over the period from 1845 to 1970 that define these portages and their precise location, Roy recalled. Almost all of them have the documentation, maps, field notes and journals, stored in various archives. Two of the better and more accessible examples of evidence are found at the lower portage closest to Lake Nipissing, Summers said. At the downstream west end, you can recognize the location depicted in the John Elliott Wolford watercolors. These are the 1821 paintings of Major Wolford, who accompanied, as the official draughtsman, Governor-General Dalhousie as he traveled up the French River, across Lake Nipissing and up the Lavaise River following the Voyager canoe route. Wolford recorded much of what he saw with watercolor over pencil and shared these images of the Canadian frontier with the governments of Canada and Europe. There are two specific Lavaise River paintings, Voyager's portage canoes at Bend in Narrow River and First Portage on Little River. You can see these prints at the North Bay Museum. The second piece of compelling evidence is the proliferation of hawthorn trees all along the bank, and there are many lining the bank's edge. Hawthorns are small sharp-tipped branches that arise either from other branches or from the trunk. These hawthorn trees are telltales. The hawthorn tree is unmistakable for its long, sharp thorns. The haw berries are important for wildlife in winter, particularly thrushes and waxwings. These birds eat the haws and disperse the seeds in their droppings. Humans consume the berries, as well, Summers said. These trees are the leftovers of undigested hawthorn berry seeds from the Voyager's pemmican. Indigenous wisdom advised new arrivals to consume hawberries, an insular lowbush fruit, to prevent scurvy. Basically, the proof is the poop from the regeneration of these trees. Part 2, Other Routes. If you journey to the west end of the Lavaise Portage on the shores of Lake Nipissing, Lakeshore Drive to Premier Road to the municipal park called Champlain Park, you will find several historic plaques commemorating Samuel de Champlain and the Voyagers, lacking indigenous content. So, are the monuments commemorating Champlain's visit in the right location? On July 26, 2015, it was 400 years since Samuel de Champlain appeared somewhere on the shoreline of Lake Nipissing. Here is the Betaday story of the day. The story says, the celebration will take place on Sunday, July 26, the exact date of Champlain's passage, at Champlain Park, North Bay. I then talked about this on the CBC. There is a difference in opinion. There is good evidence the famed French-Canadian explorer may not have come this way. Roy Summers thought so. Years of dogged determination helped Roy piece together what was in this area from a geologic and historical perspective. He thought Champlain took the historic portage from Trout Lake to Lake Nipissing was along Ski Club Road, crossing Chippewa Creek and turning southwest towards Timmins Street and the present North Bay waterfront. There is evidence, it is identified as a historic portage on an 1883 survey. Some think Castles Street to Trout Lake Road may have been the direct route, but its roots are later in North Bay's history. It was the development road to Trout Mills, a working lumber mill, at Armstrong Beach. Roy unearthed and showed me many, many maps, and studied the literature and diaries of those leaving behind records and images of the Nipissing Passageway, which includes several ways to reach Lake Nipissing. The Lavaise Portage is a 14 kilometers, 8.7-mile trek, in length, with three portage totaling 2.7 kilometers, 1.7 miles, it is one of three possible routes. Parks Creek, 10.7 kilometers, 6.7 miles, has five portage of 1.9 kilometers, 1.2 miles, known as Ojibwe-Sipi, via a series of small lakes, the Cove, Beach, Camelot Lake, is another. And the shorter, but not forgotten North Bay and Trout Lake Road. Ski Club Road, historic portage, 6 kilometers, 3.72 miles with no portage, including Chippewa Creek as another complementary seasonal waterway to Lake Nipissing. Roy said, these different routes were used by first, the extensive Amerindian trading network and then the French and English explorers and the voyagers. These routes were described many times in writing between 1620 and 1845. Almost all of them have the documentation, maps, field notes and journals, stored in various archives, but there is no evidence of Champlain using the Levée portage. He points to the league, a historic unit of measure, which varied in definition, as another piece of evidence for an alternative route. In many notations where the portage length is in leagues, the distance more closely matches the historic portage route along Ski Club Road to the waterfront. The North Bay Board of Trade, now Chamber of Commerce, started promoting Champlain's arrival through the Levée portage as early as 1925. That was the year North Bay became a city, 2025, an early milestone. The celebration was called Old Home Week, and the extensive program acknowledged the prestigious explorers' visit and the Levée portage. The first commemorative plaque erected in 1925, and since refurbished, is on Lakeshore Drive near the Garden, Bait Enterprises. The hoopla continued, fast forward to 1961 and the next historic plaque on the east side of Highway 17 at Dugas Bay. There was a roadhouse there at one time, attracting many tourists. Then in 1975, the Chamber published Murray Leatherdale's Nipissing from Brule to Booth, a book highlighting the age of exploration and development within the Nipissing Passageway. As noted, other plaques and a cairn have been erected at the end of Premier Road. At Champlain Park, for years since the early North Bay Board of Trade, through to the present, a variety of community groups have tried to promote, protect and conserve the Levée portage. In reality, the heyday for the utilization of the Levée portage was for approximately 40 years when the Northwest Co. NWC operated La Ronde House on the small island at the end of Premier Road, before amalgamating with the Hudson Bay Company in 1821. It was during the time of Alexander Mackenzie of the NWC, one of Canada's greatest explorers. He did use the Levée portage. The Fur Trading Company maintained a water control dam at the upstream end of the third portage to float the large freighter canoes. The post was then transferred to the mouth of the Sturgeon River on the north side of Lake Nipissing. The translated diaries, by H.P. Bigger, of Samuel de Champlain survive in his Voyages, a detailed chronological narrative, edited for the French public. And that is part of the mystery, what is lost in the translation. In the early 1600s, the Voyages were public relations documents aimed at keeping Champlain's activities in the forefront of French imperialism. The French were actively exploring many other areas of the world, and New France was not the most important of their ventures. Champlain does not identify or describe what would have been the Levée portage. But maybe he didn't want to, he was tasked to promote the potential riches of the land. The crossing of the muddy portage is an arduous task at the best of times. In Champlain's Voyages, journals, he says, "We passed through several lakes, where the savages carry their canoes." Champlain is describing the then 14 portage along the Mattawa River. Upon arrival on the shore of Lake Nipissing, he starts his journal entry with, "Where we rested 2 days." There is no mention, other than the distance, of the portage or where he rested. Champlain previously had heard of the Nipissings from one of his guides, Étienne Brûlé, 1610. This tribe was known by others as the Sorcerers, and were well known for their supposed magical powers for creating lasting curses. They gave us a very kind reception and were in goodly number. They are a race who cultivate the soil very little. He describes the natives' existence and relationship to the landscape. "During the time I was with them, the chief of these people and others of their headmen, medicine men, feasted us on several occasions, according to their custom, and took the trouble to go fishing and hunting in order to entertain us as daintily as they could. There are a great number of very pretty islands, Manitou Islands, and the north side of the lake is very pleasant, meadowside. There are fair meadows for pasturing cattle and many little streams discharging into the lake, Duchesnay, La Ronde, Little Sturgeon Creeks." He was definitely not describing the Levée area. There was no mention of the inhospitable mud across the three historic carrying places. Alexander Niven was an all-star surveyor for the province of Ontario. There is a historic monument dedicated to his achievements just west of Cochrane. His meridians became the legal boundaries for townships in northwestern and northeastern Ontario. He surveyed Widdefield Township, which amalgamated with North Bay and West Ferris in 1968. The Ski Club Road Historic Portage is on his survey. Niven's biographer, Kim Emerson, was contacted. Despite the times and rudimentary equipment, his surveys are incredibly accurate. He was a stickler for details, and his survey notes prove why he was such a great surveyor. Niven also identifies the Lavace Portage in his West Ferris Township survey. The amount of detail is very evident on the 1883 survey, including the precise location of the escarpment and the expansive wetland below that still exists, surrounded by homes, today. Most of these roads do not fit a standard grid pattern and are indicative of what was a trail. Specifically, from east to west, in a WNW direction, the historic route reflects the starting point at Armstrong Beach through the pedestrian culvert. It follows Ski Club Road, through O'Brien Street to the McEwen, Maloney Extension, where it crosses Chippewa Creek. Here it changes direction from Ney to SW, at its narrowest and most tranquil location. As an option, during the spring runoff, Chippewa Creek could have been navigated by the smaller canoes of the time. These were not the larger Voyager canoes. Turn on Mary, Doran and Murphy Streets and the route would have crossed Highway 11/17 onto Highland to Algonquin Avenue, turning somewhere onto Vimy Street, to Beattie Street through the Burke Playground, where you can see the trail running from Ney to SW, onto Blome where it meets Jane Street, see the steps of the trail. Onto Cormac, descending the series of glacial beaches where it meets Main Street West. You are close to the condominiums at the waterfront. Along the shoreline, in front of the condos, you will see a large boulder and a small beach. On land there is a cutaway or dug bank where the trail, tote road emerge. In the water, you will see the natural rock groin, more visible in the spring, ideal for accessing the lower water levels of Lake Nipissing. Because of the upper French River Chaudière dams, Roy Summers said Lake Nipissing was 2 meters lower than present-day levels. The beaches closer to the government dock would have been expansive and would have been better habitation areas when compared to the surrounding lowlands of the Lavace outflow. The Nipissings in the area did not summer at the Lavace River, they stayed near the pickerel spawning grounds of Duchesnay Creek and this nearby portage. Historic depictions of Champlain have him looking towards the Manitou Islands in the middle of Lake Nipissing, a better vantage point from the north shore of the lake and the historic overland portage. If you ask any avid canoe trippers whether they would want to unload, load their canoes 3 times over a longer distance, 14 kilometers, where the conditions were muddy, French translation for Lavace, get their feet wet because of beaver dams or a route that was high and dry and shorter, 6 kilometers, you would not be surprised with the preferred choice. We can say the Nipissing Passageway can be defined as several historic indigenous routes, there is little doubt about that. The best evidence is that Champlain's route to Lake Nipissing may not be as portrayed today, but he was guided by the First Peoples. Anyway, his statue in Orillia has become controversial. It is all interesting conjecture but logical. That's a lot of colonial history condensed in general terms. Indigenous Sense Drive. Jonathan Pitt is an Indigenous knowledge keeper and is of Anishinaabeg and Haudenosaunee heritage. Cultural transmission is part of his research and the courses he teaches at Nipissing University. He also works as an independent consultant for post-secondary organizations as an indigenization advisor. After the query of making sense of it all, he started off by saying, "This is an important topic, both historically and culturally speaking. There are a number of viewpoints on this, often influenced by monolingualism and other colonial ways of understanding. E.g. that there was only one portage route between Trout Lake to Lake Nipissing and it must have been X. In my experience, X never marks the spot." He said, "We know from various records there were likely multiple routes, i.e. Lavace, current Ski Club Road pathway, as well as possibly what are known today as Chippewa and Parks Creeks. These routes likely depended on the seasons, e.g. higher water levels in the spring and fall, use of lock systems by companies, etc. Translations of names of water and land varied based on the language of the colonial interpreter, surveyor. Nastagon in Anishinaabemowin, meaning the roots of the past or the ways for travel through the land, Aki. In academic terms, an understanding of etymology underpins the knowledge today. The origin of the words, along with their historical development or etymologies, is often linked to colonialism, such as changes to words in Anishinaabemowin, an example being we used to say Nanabuzhu, which is today shortened to Buzhu, hello, due to colonialism with the Wemitigiirger, the French, who said bonjour, and it was shortened to Buzhu. He explained, the word portage derives from the French, porter, to carry. In Anishinaabemowin, depending on the dialect, the word onagam is a portage. Name places such as Grand Portage or Geechee Onagaming, such as the Great Carrying Place near Lake Superior. The onagam of the Nastagon was used by the original people and later during the colonial experiment, beginning with the Wemitigiirger, French, fur traders in this territory used this and other routes. One route was the Height of Land route, which was in proximity to Trout Lake Dreamer's Rock, roughly along present-day Ski Club Road, as there was swamp in the low-lying area, e.g. where the North Bay Jail is located, across to Lake Nipissing, Nbissing, the original name of what is known as Lake Nipissing, meaning little water, inland in comparison to the larger Great Lakes. I have seen this route on old maps which belonged to my great-grandfather, referring to it as the Indian Trail. This route would have gone along Algonquin and over towards St. Alexander Catholic Elementary School near the old Pine Hill Coffee Shop and down to the beach, North Bay Waterfront Condos. See the map link again. The Anishinaabek used to travel to winter grounds spread out through the area in smaller family units to practice sustainability of harvesting and early forms of self-isolation for illness. In the summer, they came together at larger summer grounds on the shores of Nbissing. Perhaps this is, in part, why Ferguson, John Ferguson, colonial founder of North Bay, picked the location for settlement in 1882 for present-day North Bay. Dr. Pitt points out it was only a couple of years ago that Marathon Beach was renamed Shabajizak Beach, Shabgizak Jeetbeek in Nishabemwin, to honor Chief Shabajizak, who was a signatory of the Treaty of 1850, Robinson-Huron. Chief Shabajizak signed the Treaty of 1850, Robinson-Huron-Wawindamaguin, meaning a promise or mutual promises, as the 10th signatory nation, in that today is Nipissing First Nation No. 10. In Anishinaabemowin, the term Nbissing Shkongan is used to describe the land base. Shkongan meaning those lands left over from the Nipissing traditional territory and homeland. He recalls, I remember back in the 1990s, there was an archaeological field school at the LaVeyce site with Dr. Patrick Julig, which I visited in 1996 in the search for LaRonde House, Post, Fort, as there was a grade of local interest, e.g. Leatherdale's book, Wolford Painting, where the LaVeyce empties into Lake Nipissing. This route has received a great deal more attention than the others due to tourism dollars, e.g. like the Dion Quintuplets, historically, and the placement of plaques to contemporary times with the Friends of the LaVeyce, etc. Later, during this period, the trading post was moved to the mouth of the Sturgeon River at Lake Nipissing. Often, we see a celebratory narrative in Canadian history of European explorers and the fur trade deeply embedded within the historical, societal and political colonial nationalism, which is not reconciliation. Jody Wilson-Raybould and Roshan Dinesh remind us in their new book Reconciling History, A History of Canada, that as Dean Leader George Erasmus noted, that a common memory must be created before reconciliation can begin, the truth must first be spoken. This article was not to refute or prove one historic route over another. The story is a simple gesture of respect. It is part of the awareness and change continuum about creating more memories. It is the city of North Bay's 100th anniversary in 2025, maybe a new legacy plaque or monument? There is a lot to learn on the back roads. Change is within us.